Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for an episode from the studio. We'll get down to business on a show about corporations. JP tells a true childhood tale about a paper route. We unearth another lost propaganda cartoon. Comedian Stephen Benequist stops by. And songwriters Robert Garson and Kirsty McGee perform.
Sorry, Julie, we're changing formats again. This is a new country station now.
Again?
Yeah, sorry. There's no more public radio. Commercials win, I guess.
Well, then what do we do?
Well, you just have to read that.
Do I have to?
If you want to be the star of American New Country Songbook, you do.
All right.
And with feeling, though.
Coming up, y'all, we're going to hee-haw and yee-haw.
Good. Now bring it home.
With a delicious pack of Panda Bear children's cigarettes.
Now finish them.
They're delicious and choky. Ask your parents for a pack today.
Perfect.
From the top of a bull market run, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And as always, on the other microphone, the CEO of the Drag Me Out of Bed Corporation, Julie Van Dusen. Corporations, industry, commerce, not your mom and pops, your faceless conglomerates. Legally recognized as people, your Goliaths, your Godzillas. I wonder if the actual Godzilla ever filed for corporate personhood. Like stepping on the little guy, cold dead eyes, massive emissions. Checks out. But is it inevitable, though? Can you be big and good at the same time? Can corporate Lenny snuggle the public bunny without crushing it? Is that analogy a stretch? Oh, only time will tell. Only time and eye rolls will tell. Where was I? Right. Oh, yeah. Can they be big and good at the same time? Like Google. That was their original motto, right? When they started, the official corporate slogan, don't be evil. Fine print until no one's looking anymore. Yeah, it starts getting a little spooky when they get huge like that. You know, big telecom, big oil, big tobacco, big pharma swallowing up smaller companies. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. Good company is hard to find, staying above the bottom line, chasing the bears, riding the bulls, in the black or die for enterprise. The earliest documented commercial corporation in the 1300s was the Stora Kopparberg Mining Company in Sweden. The articles of incorporation came with a small Allen key, and they were impossible to assemble. But by the time we got to the 17th century, it was your South Sea Company, your East India Company, you know, intermingled with the military and the government, bringing home the overseas spoils. Mercantiles on the high sea, plundering for the kings and the queens. The great nations of Europe, known in Africa as RUN. Then a Scotsman published The Wealth of Nations, and he laid the groundwork for the free market economy. Turns out, it ain't free. Nothing ever is.
Good company is hard to find, staying above the bottom line, chasing the bears, riding the bulls, in the black or die for enterprise.
Probably would have been easier to name a company in the early days. Not much was taken yet. If you had ballpoint pens, Ink Ink, or you're starting a mortuary, Corpse Corp, a dating service, Company Company. As we got deep into the free market, they started fighting for that brain space, the companies, right? Catchy logos, hummable tunes, advertising, you know, eat at Joe's, Bob has Ebola. Competition like that, you know, Coke versus Pepsi, teach the world to sing, the taste of a new generation, all culminating in Michael Jackson's hair on fire. Over a few lousy bubbles. And I don't mean his monkey. And they're all fighting over the shelf space too, right? So they have to up the ante, you know, constantly innovate the products unnecessarily. New flavor crystals, patented grime-removing agents, 2 blades in the razor, 4 blades in the razor, 17 blades in the razor. The fundamentals of advertising, you know, pacing and leading, tell you what the problem is and then offer the solution. When the problems were mostly solved, well, they didn't stop. No, they started making them up. Are you tired of always having to reach down and pull your shoe on? Not really, but Shoedini. Are you sick of tediously putting the mustard and the mayonnaise on your sandwich? No, but you're making me feel a little depressed now. Try Brightum. It's purple. It's happy. Side effects may include reaching down to put on your shoe, two condiment jar dependence, and depression.
Good company is hard to find. Staying above the bottom line. Chasing the bears, riding the bulls, in the black or die for enterprise.
So here we are today, late stage capitalism. I always like to say that we didn't win the Cold War, it was a slow tie. All that lobbying, all the deregulating, and before you know it, it's a funny-looking man in a giant suit on your TV talking about the 1% and the billionaires and the billionaire class. Right? Tax loopholes, kickbacks, bailouts, and any day now, a new constitutional convention. The 28th Amendment. Private jets may be fitted with peasant lasers. I don't know. Maybe President Oprah will sort it out. She did bring us the secret. We can move into a manifestation economy.
The comedy pays in dividends. It's all a game and no one really wins. Then it ends.
You gotta call a thing, I guess. You can't just make everything nothing. Corporations are gonna incorporate. So make a few good rules, a little antitrust, a little uncle trust. Say uncle, say I'm obviously not qualified to talk about economic theory. Sure, but, well, that's never stopped me before. So we're gonna go corporate this week and see if we can't take over the world. Stick Around is a registered trademark of the American Parlor Company.
Good company is hard to find. Staying above the bottom line. Chasing the bears, riding the bulls. In the black or die for enterprise.
We'll be hearing songs from a couple of great singer-songwriters this week, Kirsty McGee from the UK and Robert Garson from the US, face-to-face in the studio as Ocotillo. We'll let Garson take the lead on the first number. Robert Garson.
Met you down at the station Sunday morning, 9:15. I said, where you going? You said somewhere I can dream. Got lost in a hurry. You got lost on your way to my dead on arrival. In your dream, do I see? I'm a better man, doing what I can, but I can't make the river change. With things that go and stop, now everything I'm not is everything you've got to say. Carpenter was a prophet. He built this fence with his hands. I can never forgive him. but Jesus could have known how we could sleep for years, doing away our fears, pretending we're still not alive. Forgotten to anyone who'll hear my lie. A fool still surviving on the good and goodbye. Who took trust that code for both of us? Who hid your heart in antic hate until the needles found on this shaky common ground? Farmageddon, I will pray. See the bitter man doing what he can. I know I can't make you change, but I can make the roses stop, blind this heaven to have not, that I might see another day.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Any town, USA, to some town in particular, USA. Everywhere you look, captains of industry are standing tall as the backbone of the country, building your buildings, securing your money, making your cars. Yes, America runs on the power of corporations.
Oh, boy! Count me in.
Why, I didn't expect to see a little boy in the halls of business.
You didn't? You suck me into one of these stupid cartoons all the time.
Not ringing a bell, sorry.
I got this cute hat, the big saucer eyes.
No.
You always call me Billy, even though my name is Doug.
Still nothing. Sorry, Billy.
All right, well, let's get this thing over with. I got some business I gotta take care of.
Adorable. What, a paper route? A lemonade stand?
I'm incorporating my apple pie business.
Apple pie? Why, that's as American as apple pie.
Baseball would have worked.
Nothing is more American than baseball and apple pie.
What about selling apple pie at a baseball game?
Now that's America.
Come on, let's get this show on the road. I got pies I gotta hawk.
Whoa, slow down, Billy. There's a few things you need to learn about business first. Being a corporation comes with much responsibility.
All right, let's go. Do that hop run or whatever you do.
This way.
Yep, that's the one.
Look over there, Billy.
Whoa, that's a whole lot of pies.
Mm-hmm. It's your competitor.
Hey, that's my idea.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with a little healthy competition, Billy. Billy?
Sorry, I was just buying that old lady's pie company.
Careful, Billy. You don't want to end up with a monopoly.
Well, they didn't name the game after it because it was a bad thing.
Someone's looking for an antitrust suit.
Aw, no thanks. My suit looks just fine.
No, Billy. The government, they'll split up your company. Here, I'll show you.
Boring.
Now, do you see those men there, Billy?
They look like a bunch of trolls.
Elected officials, Billy. Billy? Billy?
That was easy.
Easy to understand the problems with a monopoly?
Nah, I just paid those jerks over there to kajigga the laws a little.
But, Billy, that's a slippery slope you're standing on.
Hang on. I gotta squash these pie factory emissions violations.
Now, Billy, I don't think you understand the true spirit of business.
No, yeah, I got it down.
But, Billy...
Enough educating. Here, read this.
I'm still the boss around here, Billy.
I just bought your parent company. Now pipe down and read this copy, pitch monkey.
Billy's American Apple Pies. As American as apple pie. Hot and delicious at your local big box in the freezer aisle now.
Well, it's about time we heard another song from Ocotillo. Kirstie McGee takes the microphone this time for her song, Survival.
I'm a survivor. I've lived through things to tell a tale or two. That's why the tales I tell, they always sound so true. At the bottom of a river in a burned-out boat, there's a smile and it used to be mine. But they burned all the bridges that I crossed over, sipping the blood that used to be wine. And you need me. You won't admit that I could teach you a thing or two. When you cease learning, you start teaching what I could share with you. And at the top of a tree where it spins in the breezes, there's a heart in the branches and it's mine. I learned all about branches from the forest in me, slipping the rope and shedding the line. At the corner of salvation by the burn bridge, there's a wishbone buried in a jar. When they start to whisper of the wishes and their dreams, well, you can run, but you never get far. Won't you make me a dreamer of innocent dreams? I wanna dream again. Nowadays, nobody is what they seem, and who saves the innocent when? There's a chain and it only runs backwards, and you smile. That I crossed over, and the only thing that's left for me is you. Thank you.
Information about Kirsty's music is available on her website, kirstymcgee.com. Now, Robert Garson is a bit more of a mystery. You'll have to wait till he passes by to catch him. Let's have another song from Robert Garson. Drift out along the streetcar tracks, east from downtown, brown buildings turned to green trees, all the way down at the end of the line, the old neighborhood, nothing over three stories, painted quaint, and still shops. A butcher who survived well into the 1980s, down from a local video store, near a Chinese restaurant sign with the letters burned out, where good food became goof, by a boardwalk about a million years ago. You have to want something pretty bad to actually work for it as a kid. Work was for the birds and parents. But still, you do need money, right? Because, well, there's things. Okay, paper route, I thought. I'll do a paper route. What's the big deal? Wake up a little early, chuck some projectiles at the doors, collect on Sundays, collect, and boom, hockey mask, Billy Joel single, cool shades, whatever you want. Just a little hustle, and you're made. The fast food mammoth paced at the edges of the neighborhood for decades, pulling on the ropes, begging, stomping its hooves, snorting angry snots at the community meetings. Let me in! The working and middle-class folks brushed it off. No, we're fine driving out past the racetrack to eat from styrofoam. They liked it like a picture for strolls and newspaper-wrapped fish and chips. Bzzzt, the new 6 a.m. alarm from down the hall. My dad at the foot of the bed. All right, let's go. The papers are downstairs. Oh, no, the papers. I forgot the paper route. You have to go do the inserts. The inserts. Extra sheets of coupons. Finger slicers, one after the other. Open in the middle, cram in a page. 100 times, hundreds of times. So you'd be ink black like an Industrial Revolution child laborer. But why? But why didn't they just print them with the rest of the pages? Torture. That's why. A man could get stuck sideways in a grocery store aisle. At most, 5 aisles, but all crammed into a few hundred square feet. Tightly packed rows of cans. 10 cereals, 2 for parents, 8 for kids. All in a row, the tuna with the tuna, coffee beside the coffee, before it went brand with brand on the shelf and got impossible to find anything, before end cap science and impulse buy placements. By the end of the first week, I was fed up. 6 a.m. seemed to get earlier and earlier and earlier. Thursday, I just slept right through it. My dad had to deliver the papers, out there in the cold, doing my job. By Saturday, it was knee-deep out there. White Canadian snow off the lake and double inserts. Up at 5:30 a.m. to make double inserts. One more day, though. Just one more day. Sunday, I do the collections, I cash out, and I'm going to hang up my newsy hat for good. Go back to sneaking quarters from my mom's purse. Packs of wild yuppies roamed free through every city on the continent, swallowing average houses, chucking out the multicolored carpets and faux wood for sleek white and glass coffee tables and pictures in the kitchen of an apple. Eating a whole neighborhood and driving up the prices, right? All while listening to Phil Collins just to rub it in. And the bull bowed its head and got ready to run steaming down to the end of the tracks and knock down the bakery to put up the golden arches. I dragged my sorry moon boots through the nightmare snow. I traded that little perforated ticket from the 2-ringed book for $3 at the last house, and pocketed the loot, and headed for retirement. Never work again. Oh, I'll never work again. Never what again? Bradley says. Oh, no, not this kid, geez. Him and his weird cousins, too, from the fourplex across the street. Work. I said, I won't work again. I shook the receipt book. You get paid, he says. And then it dawned on me. Sure, yeah, I get paid. $1 a house. But I'm giving it up, unless you want to take it over. His eyes light up. The weird cousins lean in. Yeah, the three of you could bang it out in like 20 minutes. Split the loot. Live like corner store kings. Licorice City. I'm signed on through the spring, though, so you'd have to commit to picking up the papers from me every morning. I'll do the collecting on Sunday, sure, but I'll only take 10% off the top. 80 cents a house, no problem. I'll give it to you the first thing every Monday morning on the way from school. Here, I'll pay up front for the week so you know I'm good for it. I did the math on my numb fingers and I shelled out the week's advance. Done deal, suckers. I'd figured it out. Beat the system. Pay those suckers 80 cents a house, pocket 220 for myself, and ride out the spring like a robber baron, high on the hog. The hog that they rode around for me. So every morning, the rest of the week, I'd hand off the papers a couple of fences down to avoid the old man, and watch those fourplex goons shiver off to do my dirty work. I'd sit back for morning cartoons, feet up, waiting for the big recoup on Sunday, plus profits. Big purchases dancing in my head. Sunday comes. I pull my part to the side for a real clean look, you know, neatly placed scarf. I'm an executive now, top of the food chain. I need to look the part. The snow outside was even clearing a path. I think my cunning raised the temperature and rewarded me with an early thaw. I strutted down the street like Junior J.P. Morgan towards the first house, first left at the bottom of the street by the big corner lawn with the tree. Here comes those spoils, sweet, sweet spoils. All I have to do is collect, turn the corner, and there, against the big tree, slowly revealed by the melting snow, every darn paper those money-snagging goons from the fourplex ditched in a pile. When I learned the ultimate lesson in life, there's nothing for free unless you're the goons from the fourplex.
Rise and shine down the stairs, 6 a.m. Against the wind, sling the papers again. Dodging cars, playing catch with the sun. Shoot jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes, I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So, if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. And we return to American Parlor Songbook. Now, our good friend, comedian Stephen Bennequist, is back with a commentary on the nature of personhood.
Hi there. I'm Steve Bennequist. I want to talk to you about a certain group of people in this country that, although we see them every day, most Americans don't think of as people. They are not citizens. They cannot vote, and until recently, they did not have a legal voice. In this country, we have approximately 330 million human beings, but we are not alone. Ours are not the only interests that deserve a voice. Am I talking about animals? Don't be ridiculous. I'm talking about corporations. But Steve, you protest, you said people. Yes, I said people because legally, corporations are people in this country. That is what the conservative majority of the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Citizens United in 2010. They're people. I know I said that they can't vote, but don't be confused. Corporations don't have to be from Puerto Rico or Guam or American Samoa or Washington, D.C. The Americans in those places can't vote because, well, America has 50 states. 50 is a nice round number, you know, 50's company, 54 is a crowd. Back to corporations. Some people don't like corporations, think that they're less than human. They say they come to this country, they don't pay their fair share of taxes, take our jobs, and then send them overseas and give them to robots. Some say corporations are rapists, but I'd like to point out that's impossible, except metaphorically, maybe. But let's not be too harsh. Corporations are simply groups of people, or rather, disembodied entities created by groups of people that get to act, earn, and spend above and apart from the individuals who created them, and they never die and can't go to jail. But don't those individuals, you say, already get to speak and vote on their own? Isn't making corporations people giving two bites of the apple to the people involved in those corporations? I say not really. Corporations, being made up of people, have interests, and they want the right to free speech to express those interests. But how can a corporation speak? All in unison? That would be ridiculous. How could you even understand them? Maybe with a good choir director and a lot of practice. But mostly corporations speak with money. This is because corporations, like Frankenstein's monster, are cobbled together out of individuals, money, and other corporations, rather than bodies of the dead. Also, like the monster, corporations lack proper speech. Now, how does a corporation speak with money? You can't walk up to a bank and say, "Hello, WAMU," and the bank cannot open its doors and vomit money all over you. But there are a few ways a corporation really can speak, always with a little help. Because remember, corporations do not have mouths, although they do consume and excrete. But more on that later. The first way corporations speak is to hire someone to speak for them. That would be a lobbyist. The lobbyist functions like an interpreter, translating the corporation's inhuman, unspeakable wants into intelligible words. Much like Frankenstein could only say, the interpreter understands and says, "My client would like some bread." Another form of money speech is to make advertisements, or for our British listeners, advertisements. And similarly, their ideas are presented by surrogates, actors, voiceover people, editors, a director, either praising something the corporation craves or damning something that it hates, such as fire bad or tax shelters good. And lastly, there is a very rare category in human speech, not seen often. Moses did it when he parted the waters, or Alibaba when he said, "Open sesame." You know, where you just speak and stuff happens. The most recent example I can think of is Ronald Reagan. "Mr. Gorbachev," he said, "tear down this wall." And I don't know how many of you have actually seen the footage, but poor Gorbachev, standing there, started moving involuntarily like a marionette with no control over his own body, plucking up awkwardly a sledgehammer, and he started wailing on the walls. It was amazing. And it was just the words of Reagan. There were no other political forces or historic trends in play. Just Reagan's voice. Boom. I mean, that's power. I mean, just think, if only in 1917, Reagan's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Reagan, would have taken the 6-year-old Ronnie to Moscow, pointed him at the Kremlin, and said, "Let him have it, Ronnie.
Mr. Lenin, tear down..."
Well, there wasn't a wall yet, but it all would have spared the world the scourge of communism. And I'll wager corporations would have become people way sooner. Anyway, corporations can do that kind of money talk, where just stuff happens, and they do it all the time. If a corporation wants a congressperson to support a bill it wrote for them, then they use the money to shout, "A fully paid vacation to a private resort in the Seychelles." And they get results. Or say it wants her to vote against allowing unionization in the right-to-work state that its headquarters are in. And the money says, "I'm buying all your ad time for the next 2 years." And to return to the Frankenstein analogy, this type of speech is closest to the point in the story where the monster just goes, and stampedes through crowds of villagers, snapping necks and throwing bodies in his wake. Sometimes the man of few words speaks loudest. Also, like Frankenstein's monster, corporations are created, not born, which is rare for a regular person. So for every corporation, there's a Dr. Frankenstein. Although now, it's so commonplace, anyone listening to this could be their own Dr. Frankenstein. You don't need a lab, no hunchback assistant, no lightning. You just need to file paperwork. You don't even need other people. You could be a sole proprietor, a corporation of one, like an attorney or a Lyft driver. In fact, the recent GOP tax bill incentivizes this, giving tax breaks to sole proprietors and taxing business profit at a lower rate than earned income. Profit is taxed less than money you work for. In essence, work is punished and profits are rewarded. The message of the bill is clear and big-hearted. Stop working so hard, America. Become a corporation. Kick your feet up and watch the profits roll in. Let's all be the 1%. And I'd like to do it. Become a corporation. Just think of it. Not only a better tax deal, but you can't die and you can never go to jail. You'd be immortal. Impunitive. But how do you say, "I love you" in money talk? Lacks something. Besides, who wants to murder their creator and float off on an iceberg never to be seen again? No, thank you. I think I'll stay a lowly human being and pay the price of death and taxes. I'm Steve Beniquist, Incorporated.
And that was, of course, our good friend, comedian Stephen Benequist. Now we have time for another song from the great duo Ocotillo. Kirsty McGee will sing this one, again with support from Robert Garson.
Come what may, I'll stick around. I'll be the old and constant sound, a record playing in the other room. A rose lingers with a constant bloom. Come what may, I'll stick around. I'll be the only one in town who still
That's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX.
Window.
You can find information about the program Window. On our website, That lullaby is getting old, Martha. Try a different key.
Will you just wake up and tell me if these leotards are tight enough?
At your age, any tight is too tight.
Just look at the back. I need it snug.
It's snug. Now, can I please sleep?
Oh, hang on. Let me get my cape.
All right. Okay, I'll bite.
No, it's not a Dracula act.
Let's see the leotard, the cape.
And don't forget the roller skates.
All right, I'm confused.
Well, I'll give you a clue. Look, speeding faster than a jet, stronger than Limburger, hotter than the sun, it's...
A conservatorship and a month in the bin.
No, it's... The Wiz!
Like the musical.
The what?
The musical.
No, The Wiz. The fastest wheels in the galaxy. I'm becoming a superhero.
All right, I'll call the doctor. We'll adjust your meds.
No, I don't need medication. I need a franchise.
What would you do with a sandwich shop, Martha?
A movie franchise. You know, a cinematic universe.
They don't hand out blockbusters to nonagenarians.
Oh, that's good. From the planet Nonagenarius. Yes, yes, keep going, Wendell.
Sounds like your script needs a good punch-up.
Oh, yes, oh, that's perfect. A big punch-up in the bar. Yes, it'll be punch-ups, kick-ups, flips, the whole 11 yards.
You mean 9.
Well, you have to up the ante with every sequel.
Sequel,
franchise, reboot. Why not a good old-fashioned new story?
Because multinational entertainment conglomerates don't gamble on new ideas.
Isn't your little superhero a new idea?
Are you honestly telling me that you don't remember The Wiz?
Why would I lie?
The Wiz.
Hmm?
These orange tights, the cape,
no.
My lightning bolt hair.
Not ringing a bell, sorry.
1943, the third chapter of the first Batman serial.
Ah, Lewis Wilson, now that's a hero.
And me, his sidekick.
Robin.
The Wiz.
Hmm.
Yes, all right, they may have cut me from the story, but you can still see me breeze past on my wheels just before the finale.
Oh, right, now I'm remembering. And then you were there, unannounced, out of place, standing in the room between Robin and the commissioner. Martha, I'm not sure that's enough for a spin-off, let alone 75 years later.
I just need to do a little gorilla promo.
Some street theater.
No, I'm going to fight a gorilla at Comic-Con.
Oh, no, you're not going to make me wear that gorilla suit again, are you?
No, not after the way you dropped the ball the last time.
I was bagged and captured by animal control.
You should have climbed a tree or something. Besides, never mind. I've hired a real one this time. There's no more chintzing on the budget. It's got to look great on TMZ.
CGI seems safer.
Carol Goldman Isaacson closed 40 years ago, Wendell. No, I'm with RCA now.
The record firm?
No. Randall Carter Associates.
Oh, I should have known that Randall was behind this.
He's reinvigorating my career.
In leotards and skates.
You have to go big these days, Wendell. There are no little pictures anymore.
Oh, but why not a nice On Golden Pond or here's a twist, Sunshine Girls?
It's got to come out of the gate boffo. CGI, brand recognition, big stars.
Old ladies.
A gimmick is a gimmick.
Call me old-fashioned, but I like a good story, a modest setting, and a subtle performance.
Oh, well, I can do subtle. Here, watch my eye.
All right.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Half a tear. And that's coming next. You have to give them boffo, then you can do a me picture. You do one for them, then I can do one for me.
Boffo this and boffo that. Big beats, ham-fisted melodies. Flashing this, pictures of lunch, superhero armies invading the theaters. Now, I'm a man who likes to shave with a straight razor. Nice and simple. I want to hang my phone on the kitchen wall.
It's just progress, Wendell. Lighten up.
Progress. Is it a big coincidence that all this progress happens to cost us? Happens to be one-upping the other? Fees for the bonus content, bigger screen, bigger bang, faster signal. Slow down. I mean, what if it's not progress at all? What if having everything at the touch of a button makes everything mean less? Shoveling coal to feed the fiery beast. The beast saying, more, more. You need me. Give me more. Pretty soon, a poor old man like me can't just sit by a lake and watch the sunset.
All right, all right. There, there, dear. I didn't know it would upset you so much.
No, I'm sorry, Martha. I might be at my I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore moment.
Well, you are all fired up. That's kind of adorable.
Well, I'm glad my passion is amusing to you.
No, it's not amusing. No, it's nice. And you're not all wrong. The world certainly has changed. I suppose I'm just trying to keep up.
Oh, Martha, let's just be old and let it pass us by.
You know me, Wendell. It's like you say, I always keep things
interesting.
Yes,
you always keep things interesting.
Yes, and you keep them nice and calm. You center the storm and quell it under the horizon.
But it's hard wrestling those lightning bolts sometimes.
You should try painting them on your hair.
No, I like those. They're sleek.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you some peace from the brave new world out there. Tonight, it's just you and me. An old woman, an old man, a good cuddle, and a nice song.
So you're going to sing me to sleep tonight?
No, Wendell, not a chance, no. I could never sing it like you.
All right, but this song's not for sale.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said,
time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinholed skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.